Head on Radio News, I'm Bruce Birch. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice's abrupt dismissal of a letter from Iran's president might only strengthen hardline attitudes and mistrust of America, some Iranians warned Tuesday. As President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad began a high-profile visit to a key Muslim country, Indonesia, a former top Iranian official said Rice's response will give new justification to those who oppose ties with the U.S. Iran's former ambassador to France, Sadiq Karazi, said the letter, the first from an Iranian head of state to an American president in 27 years, quote, could have been a turning point in relations, unquote. But he said Rice squandered the opportunity with what he called a, quote, hasty reaction, unquote. Senator Frank Lautenberg, Democrat of New Jersey, called on President Bush to ask for the immediate resignation of the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Alfonso Jackson. If a report about government contracts being rewarded based on the contractor's opinion of President Bush are accurate, RawStory.com has learned. Jackson related in a Dallas Business Journal article that when a contractor who was about to be awarded a government contract spoke of his dislike for George Bush, the Secretary of HUD responded this way, quote, brother, you have a disconnect. The president is elected. I was selected. You wouldn't be getting the contract unless I was sitting here. If you have a problem with the president, don't tell the secretary, unquote. Jackson continues, quote, why should I reward someone who doesn't like the president so they can use funds to try to campaign against the president? Logic says they don't get the contract. That's the way I believe, unquote. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist and Democrat Dianne Feinstein have both expressed support for Michael Hayden to be the new CIA director. Despite calls for this post to be held from outside military leadership, Bush nominated Hayden to fill the spot that disgraced former CIA Director Porter Goss resigned from. Bush went to Sun City, Florida today to tell seniors that the Medicare D prescription plan has a deadline and he is not willing to work with them to extend it. Bush said, quote, deadlines help people understand there's finality and people need to get after it, unquote. May 15th is the deadline for seniors enrolled in Medicare Part D to make their final choices of private insurance plans. The plan has been a debacle from the very beginning, and recently independent callers to the helpline to monitor answers reported that 50% of callers received bad information regarding Medicare Part D. More people think Iraq is a mistake 3 years into this war than thought Vietnam was a mistake 3 years into that war. More Americans, 57%, say sending troops to Iraq was a mistake than the 48% who called Vietnam an error in April 1968. That's because more people believe that Vietnam was crucial to U.S. security, scholars say. The poll numbers suggest that George W. Bush may come under overwhelming pressure from voters to resolve the war, as did Lyndon B. Johnson 38 years ago, even though both men vowed to stay the course. This is News on the Horn, the head-on radio network.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Brant Webb has discharged himself from hospital barely 4 hours after he was freed from the Beaconsfield gold mine in Australia, with he and fellow mine escapee Todd Russell determined to attend today's funeral for fallen comrade Larry Knight. The condition of the men has astonished rescuers and medical attendants. They walked out of the mine at 5:59 a.m. to an ecstatic national outpouring of emotion 2 weeks after the rockfall that trapped them in a tiny cage and killed Knight. Dr. Ayer said both men had expressed their desire to attend Knight's funeral this afternoon and were unlikely to return to the hospital for treatment afterwards. Volkswagen's Brazilian labor union said on Friday it expects more than 5,700 jobs will be cut in the next 3 years, but the German automaker denied the figure. Still, Volkswagen's Brazil unit said this week it may have to lay off workers because of a strong local currency is hurting exports. Thousands of job cuts and production slashes are inevitable, Volkswagen said in a statement on Wednesday. As a bankruptcy judge listens today to arguments on whether to terminate Delphi Corp's labor agreements, local union members will be casting ballots on whether to strike. The strike vote is conditional as the bankruptcy court has made no ruling on whether it will grant a motion by Delphi to terminate its collective bargaining arrangements. United Auto Workers cannot strike unless the bankruptcy court rules in Delphi's favor. If union members vote in favor of a strike, however, a second vote would be unnecessary if the court terminates the labor agreement. A strike could begin immediately. For Head On Radio Network News, I'm Bruce Birch.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening, good afternoon, good day. Am I thrilled to be back? Yes, I am thrilled to be back. It was a long weekend that I did not anticipate and, frankly, did not want. But these things happen, and just to be candid with you, I'm down here in the last little toe hills of the Appalachian Range in the northwest corner of Alabama, and we're doing a lot of doctoring. We're going, my father and I are going to the doctor and trying to address some pretty significant health issues. And frankly, yesterday was not good news. Somewhere along the way, apparently, it really messes with your head when you hear things like this. The cardiologist looks at my dad and says, "Boy, have you had some humdinger heart attacks in your life?" And Dad goes, "Huh? What?" "Oh yeah, your heart's a wreck. Your heart's just damaged beyond belief." So, you know, and bear in mind, this is one of those doctors that doesn't give, he's a doctor, for God's sakes. He doesn't give a tinker's damn about people's time or how much they wait. So, you know, the appointment was scheduled for 3:30. We finally got home at 6:15. So, I was too late to do the show, and I didn't want to jump right in. And when you get handed news like that, you don't just want to, I wasn't up to it, okay? I wasn't. So I apologize for my absence, and we'll try not to let that happen anymore. But I can't guarantee that it won't. So that's where we are. But the thing, the reason I mention that to you, this is not a sympathy ploy. It's not a sympathy play. It's none of that. You're all decent human beings, and I know that. I know that you do have sympathy for the situation, but that's not why I raise it. Because, when my father said, "Boy, I didn't know I'd had a heart attack," and we knew from our visit to Cleveland Clinic, four years ago, that he hadn't had one up until then. It comes as a surprise, and the doc says, "Well, you know, diabetics have heart attacks all the time and don't know it." Huh? What? And so I come back to this ongoing issue that I have going around in my brain about, you know, is the guy right? Is he wrong? Is there any way to find out? I don't know. Because he was the first one to say anything like that. Because he was looking at, never mind the details. But in the car, earlier that day, and on TV, passing by C-SPAN, I had seen Bill Frist, medical marvel, senator, majority leader, diagnoser of people via videotape, standing up on the floor of the Senate saying that we have the greatest health care system in the world. We have the greatest doctors in the world. We have the greatest insurance companies in the world. What we have is a problem. And that problem is all them people that are getting malpracticed on and wanting to sue the doctors. We got to fix it so they can't sue the doctors. So that's, you know, so that's what I got. That's what I got rolling through my mind when I'm going to the doctor's office with my father. If someone screwed up along the way and harmed my dad, or in separate circumstances, harmed one of the members of my family whom I love dearly, there are a gang of Republican members of Congress and, you know, little Republicans that creep and crawl on their bellies on the ground, you know, like the snakes that they are. Oh, there's a mixed metaphor, Republican, snakes, yeah, whatever. And they actually think that sick people are the problem. And I can't get my tiny little mind around that. The sick guy is the problem. I've had complaints, you know, with the phony immigration debate. I've had complaints that, well, you know, what are we going to do? Those Mexicans, they're overrunning our health care system and our social services, and we can't, you know, we just can't do it. As if, again, it is the problem. It's the fault of the guy who's sick. And that, hell, that's stupid. It's not the sick person's fault. You know, I heard a story the other day of a person who went in for carpal tunnel syndrome surgery on the right arm. And they, operated on the left. Oh, well, you know, look, we made him all better now, except for we got to do the surgery again. Does this make any sense to you? You know, for years and years and years, we heard the Republican Party talk about, oh, we have a culture of victimization. Everybody thinks they're a victim. Horse feathers, there are victims in this country. And they are largely victims of Republican greed and hate and neglect. Oh, look, Katrina. Oh, look, 9/11. And the list is endless. Look, the Iraq War. We are a culture of victims. Everybody thinks they're victim. Listen, when you go into, when you're a diabetic and you go in for surgery and they have to lop some of a limb off, and you come out and they've lopped the wrong limb off, they can't put it back. And Bill Frist is standing on the floor of the Senate saying, all right, we got the best doctors. You got a better chance of being hurt or killed by a doctor in this country, by a doctor's incompetence, by a doctor's negligence, by a doctor's just reckless disregard for the value of human life. You got a greater chance of being hurt by a doctor than you do of being hurt by a lightning strike or a gunshot wound. You know, it was reminiscent of Dear Leader standing on the campaign trail. You remember the line about letting our OBGYNs practice their love on the women of this nation? You remember that? This is unacceptable. with 6 months maybe to go until they are finally, after this long 12-year freaking nightmare, thrown out of power. With 6 months to go, the Senate today decided that middle-class America doesn't need tax relief. No, it's the Lark Vomit Canapé crowd that needs tax relief. And they did. That's where we are on this Tuesday, late Tuesday afternoon, early Tuesday evening in 2006. The Republican Party is so out of touch with everything in America that they're blaming sick people and giving tax breaks to people who damned well don't need another one. That's where we are. Is something else on your mind? I hope. Bring something to the table. I've missed you guys ferociously. The phone number is 877-443-2366. 877, the number 4, head on. Email's easy too. Bob at headonradio.com. No fighting. So let's get with it. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie.
We're here discussing child development with some experts. Tell me the normal development of, say, a 2-year-old.
My truck.
So a child that age should know 2 to 4 word phrases. Good. And what about cognitive development? Ah, engaging in pretend play. I see. And what of social
Look, Anna!
Being enthusiastic about the company of other children. All right, thank you.
It's time to change how we view a child's growth. It's not just physical. There are milestones your child should reach in how he plays, learns, speaks, and acts. A delay in any of these areas could be a sign of a developmental problem, even autism. The good news is, the earlier it's recognized, the more you can do to help your child reach his full potential. Talk with a doctor. Visit cdc.gov/act early or call 1-800-CDC-INFO. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Learn the signs. Act early.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. HER2-new oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Please listen to me, Marvin Hamlisch. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe 3 times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
cage. Wrapped up like a douche, another owner in the night, blinded by the light. Wrapped up like a douche, another owner in the night.
Not blinded at all. We've got the light and the good on our side. Are there some who are blinded? Yeah, sure. And a quick reminder, the phone number again, 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. Jump right in. By the way, if you're not in there, you need to go to the headonradionetwork.com chat room. It's easy, it's free, and it's fun. And if you want to make comments that are more permanent and lasting in nature, run over to my website, headonradio.com. The message board's there. Also free, also fun. Knock yourself out. But a special greeting to everyone in the chat room. They're kind of the heart and soul of a lot of this, and I appreciate their thoughts, all of you. Blinded? Sure. I got blinded for you. The latest hissy. I got to watch a little bit of Lou Dobbs, silly little fascist. Before the show started, his gig starts at 6, or 5 rather here. See, I'm still in the Eastern time zone. And his, the hissy of the night tonight was the U.S. Border Patrol has been caught tipping off the Mexican government to the location of civilian vigilante groups. And you know what we're talking about here, this Minuteman project, these weird little Hank Hill on meth freak wannabes sitting in their lawn chairs down on the Mexican border. Shoot him again, Bob. You got to lead them a little bit. You know, they're quicker than they look at a distance. Freaks. Oh, but yeah, the poor Lou was all up in a lather and... While Minuteman civilian patrols are keeping an eye out for illegal border crossers, the U.S. Border Patrol is keeping an eye out for Minutemen and telling the Mexican government where they are. It's because they are dangerous. These ugly, hateful little racist bastards in the Minuteman Project are dangerous. Hey, give me another swig of that Jack Daniels. Woo-hoo, get him! Get him, there he goes, you go. Oh, you just winged him this time, Fred. You know, I like this little spot we picked out with the Winnebago this time through. Get a little shade in the evening from the cactuses. I don't know, I think my shooting hand's a little too jumpy. I've had a little too much coffee and meth. According to 3 documents on the Mexican Secretary of Foreign Relations website, the U.S. Border Patrol is to notify the Mexican government as to the location of Minutemen and other civilian Border Patrol groups when they participate in apprehending illegal immigrants and if and when violence is used against border crossers. God almighty. Don't these people have jobs? I mean, us on the liberal side, you know, one of the reasons we can't surround the White House with 7 million people and demand that George Bush just leave now is because we got to go to work every day and the boss won't let us off to go protest. But these freaks, they don't have a job. Oh, hell no. Mavis, unfold them folding chairs and get out the picnic table and make sure there's plenty of hot dog relish and ammunition, would you? I got my spotting scope here.
A U.S. Customs Border Protection spokesman confirmed the notification process, describing it as a standard procedure meant to reassure the Mexican government that migrants' rights are being observed. It's not a secret where the Minutemen volunteers are going to be, Mario Martinez said Monday.
Now we know why it seemed like Mexican officials knowed where we were all the time, said Chris Simcox, founder of Minuteman Civil Defense Corps. It's unbelievable that our own government agency is sending intelligence to another country. They are sending intelligence to a nation where corruption runs rampant, and that could be getting into the hands of criminal cartels. They just basically endangered the lives of Merkin people. What do you think of freaks like this? I mean, apart from the fact, I mean, you want to get all Jim Kirk with them, and then you get a life. Get a life. The documents specifically named the Minuteman Civil Defense Corps and its patrols, which began monitoring Arizona's southern border in April 2005, as well as Friends of the Border Patrol, a Chino-based nonprofit. So there you go. We've got a jillion real problems in this country. We have the majority leader of the Senate understanding that his time and his day are almost run, so he's orchestrating more tax cuts for his crony pals. We got the Republican Party out there blaming sick people for having the unmitigated gall to be sick or to be upset when doctors butcher them. Lord, yes, and if you heard the top of the hour news, the Housing and Urban Development Secretary is punishing people for not liking their leader. We got that. Meanwhile, down on the Arizona border, you got a bunch of weirdos with high-powered rifles and spotting scopes worried about some little brown dude. What a load of crap. Day in and day out. What a load of crap. And, you know, it's not just the weirdos down on the border. We got other weirdos to talk about this evening. I hope you're up for it. I welcome your I welcome your input. Phone number is 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. We are at the bottom of the hour, time for our break. When we come back, yeah, the Housing and Urban Development Secretary, we probably need to talk about him a little bit. And we need to talk about new medical statistics bouncing around out there today. One that's not something for the right wing crowd to scream USA, USA, USA over. Sorry. Telephone ring, somebody said, so we'll be back. I'm Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network. I've been wondering where you've been. Now and then I think about you and me. About things we can't recall, 'cause it don't matter now at all. Just come on home, and baby, we'll laugh and sing, and we'll make love and let the telephone ring. Ring, ring, doorbell.
I'm just a kid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know
about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out
dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Cause mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
This is Lee Hamilton.
And Ron Saracen of the U.S. Capitol Historical Society.
Our Capitol has hosted some of the great debates of our history.
And we're both proud to have served here.
But there is no guarantee that representative democracy will simply continue on.
We all need to ask ourselves whether we're doing our part as citizens.
Staying informed, engaging elected officials, and being active in our communities.
It's our history.
And it's also our future.
Get involved.
Hello?
Louise, it's Ralph. Listen, would you go out with me tomorrow?
At 8? Ralph, I'd love to.
I have an appointment with my orthopedic surgeon, and I really want you to come along.
A doctor's office? That's so special. Oh, I just remembered I have to delete some emails.
Come on, Louise. We're going to talk about the pain in my hip, and I could use a little support.
I guess I'm not very hip.
You could take notes and help me remember stuff. Look, I have all my doctor questions written down, but there's so much to remember. I need you there with me so I don't miss anything.
Couldn't we just play miniature golf?
Louise, I'm not asking for a kidney.
Bringing someone to your appointment is a good way to make sure you and your physician are on the same page. The idea is to partner with your doctor and share information so you can make informed decisions together. For more on patient-doctor communications, visit orthoinfo.org. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, where patient-centered care means getting better together.
An animation that song with little kittens in Viking helmets. And having seen that, I can never hear that really cool song ever again without seeing a kitten in a Viking helmet on a Viking ship going across my screen. See how the brain works? Let's go to the phones. David is with us, calling from near Nashville, Tennessee. Hey, David, you're head on.
How the brain works? Are you sure you took the right call? And as far as that nice little medical PSA you got, that woman's biggest job will be just plop her butt in the chair and block the doctor's exit after 12.5 minutes. Make sure that old boy gets a chance to get through the question.
And gets the whole 15 he's got coming for that $175 or more.
You got it, because I'm not kidding you. 12.5 minutes, doc's well-manicured, properly moisturized hand heads for that knob, and it's not one of yours either.
you can't leave. We're talking. Now, I got to give it to the cardiologist yesterday. He spent plenty of time with us. Maybe that's why he was so late getting to us. He spends that much time with other patients, in which case I shouldn't bitch.
Good. I'm glad. I'm thrilled. I'm relieved and all of that sort of stuff. And, you know, and I hope it leads to a good patient outcome, by golly. But,
well, we do too, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, dadgummit, Father Time, that darn guy. You know, you've done a fine job of putting an audio description to those guys on that border, but a little bit of a possible visual. All you got to do is just think to the king of the hill and think about the bald one that wears the wife beater T-shirt and the chain smoker that doesn't speak in sentence.
That's the guy.
You've got the Minutemen taken care of. You know, wishing that they could figure out a way to get deep-fried dill pickles delivered. You know, those guys.
In the middle of the desert.
In the middle of the desert. That's
well, David, they're dangerous.
Of course.
They're vigilantes. They're Klansmen without the nice percale.
Well, there's going to be a 17-year-old that doesn't want his grandmother to die of starvation that's going to run toward this guy to say, please don't shoot me, and he's going to be killed. And then three more are going to want to retrieve the body, and they're going to be, it's going to be like a scene from All Quiet on the Western Front. They're all going to converge like eight-year-olds chasing a soccer ball, and there's going to be 15 or 18 brown people that are barely alive, killed in that desert. And people like Bill O'Reilly and people like Flush Flimball and, oh my gosh, the Wiener, they're all going to be cheering and screaming, that's what we need more of. O'Reilly is virtually calling for that on the radio. I don't know if you choke him down occasionally, but he's virtually calling for that. Now and then I take one for the team and I just check out the other side, and it's really serious. That's, you know, he's claiming to have looked the president in the eye during the last presidential campaign and put him on notice that America wouldn't tolerate this. They're all positioning themselves to be able to be right on the peak of the fence so that a Republican wins, and it was constructive criticism. Should a Democrat win, they were on the side of the people all along, and they should be listened to. Again, for another 4 years, ew, it's so disgusting. But Frist, good grief. I hope he keeps doing that tax thing for the people that don't need it. And I hope commercial after Democratic commercial after Democratic commercial pillories him, pins him to the wall. I want him crucified on a cross of tax cuts for the rich, to quote that James Bryant fella, or paraphrase, or steal, or emulate.
Yeah. Well, he's evil.
Of course.
Bill Frist is just evil.
A man that kills cats to figure out how to maybe be a doctor sometime later, you know, killing cats, you know, cherry bombs here and there, branding irons for pledges, you know, it's all part of the same crowd.
Yeah, they are. They're cruel, they're mean-spirited, they're a bunch of heartless SOBs, and they have no business in anything related to government. They have no business in polite society, frankly, and yet, well, you know, it's your senator, David.
Oh, I know. Oh, believe me, it is my state, but it was not ever, would not ever be my vote. It is my state, and he's from here, He and the roots of that horrible hospital corporation that makes sure people get treatment that they can't afford, that's not right for them, and
has a lovely side business in abortion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, meanwhile, he is screaming that he is, in your parlance, pro-life. And I'm sure at some point in time you've either hit, or you'll remind all of us and remind all the wingnuts listening, the latest of evidence from a country like England that's almost as fat, certainly no better for smoking, if not worse, but based almost certainly, the early evidence indicates, on the quality of health care, they're better off than we are. And the U.S. birth rate of newborns, what are we like, 22nd behind Pakistan or something? What the heck?
The only country that has a, in the so-called civilized world, and I don't know if we deserve to be in that list anymore, David. In the so-called developed or civilized world, we are next to last in infant mortality. The only, you know, yay. I mean, you know how in the South everybody says, "Well, thank God for Mississippi."
Oh yeah, they're always going to beat you to the bottom to make sure that your educational funding per capita ain't dead ass last.
Well, we're in the sad position of saying thank God for, wait for it, Latvia. Thank God for Latvia. Otherwise, we would be last in the developed world in how we in infant mortality.
Latvia, that poor little nation that has been forced to live on salted fish and pickled eggs, and is
they got a reason.
They're barely in the early stages of recovery from being, I mean, buried under the boot heel of Mother Russia and the USSR. And they are the only, quote, civilized nation that has, right, a worse birth rate, or a birth survival rate. infant mortality.
Yeah, infant mortality. You, this just, imagine, David.
But, Bob, don't.
Two babies, one born in the United States, one born in Cuba.
Oh,
the baby born in communist Cuba has a better chance of living past birth than a child born in this country.
And
damn.
Nobody seems to care. And the parents of that child in Cuba paid what percentage of their wage for the medical care they received to let the baby live longer than here? And, oh, golly, we pay one-third more than we did 20 years ago on a GNP basis?
Nothing.
Twice as much as most of Europe? Oh, oops. Anybody care? Phone's ringing. Time to take the call.
Oh, David, I guess I'm tuned into the healthcare stuff right now because it's sort of in my face.
So am I, because, you know, in a short period of time, I'm going to enter into what's that thing in the drug plan? There's a donut, you know, there's a hole in the middle where you get coverage up to a couple thousand, and then they skip over the part that really matters, and then when you get to the part where you're too out of it to know what the heck you're taking. I'm about to enter a period where for 3 years I'll be without any affordable health care.
Scary. I used to, back in the day, you know, go get a physical once a year. And, you know, we tinker with this and we fix that. And, you know, here, take this pill for a while and don't take that pill for a while. And I can't do that now. I need to do that, but I can't do that. Because my country does not care enough about me. And I'm not being selfish here. I'm using myself as an example. My country doesn't care enough about me. My country doesn't care enough about some guy working two jobs who doesn't have health insurance. They want his labor. They want his tax dollars. But they don't care if he lives or dies.
Well, Mom, you see, you just didn't go to the right school. Had you gone to the right school, Muffy and I would be very happy to offer you all the phone. No, I think he has a phone. Do they have a phone, honey? Yes, they have a phone. And I guess they are not email. Oh, well, anyway, we could have let you contact our physician, and if you'd have just gone to the right university, you could have been treated by a very competent physician. But you see, you didn't go to the right school.
It's a matter of personal responsibility.
Exactly. Yeah.
I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him, David. I really, really hate him.
As they should be. As they should be. As they should be.
Well, David, let's ring off. I got to take a break. And
precisely. Let's leave room for some informed callers with really something to say, but. You know, I just hadn't been in a while, and you sounded so frisky tonight. I just had to chime in and be part of the parade.
I'm glad to know I'm frisky.
You are indeed frisky, and I tell you what, I will grab my shovel, get to the back of the parade, and happily clean up after the big healthy animal.
David, thanks so much, brother.
See you, Bob.
Later. All right, it is break time. At least that's what the boss, Agnes, says. So we will come back here presently. Your calls are welcome. 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
I was 5 and he was 6. We rode on horses made of sticks. He wore black and I wore white. He would always win the fight. Bang, bang, he shot me down. Bang, bang, I hit the ground. Bang, bang, that awful sound. Bang, bang, my baby shot me down.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you, and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hello, this is Suffering the Odds, Mind Control Album Volume 1, Series 1. Welcome, stroke victim. Feel free to think for yourself. However, all independent actions from here out will be forbidden. You have had a stroke. Do not attempt to dance. Do not attempt to walk. Do not attempt to drive a car. Use the restroom alone or make a phone call. You will follow the instructions found on this record. Sit there silently and suffer the odds. Please turn the record over. Please turn the record over. Please turn the record over.
The odds are African Americans are twice as likely to suffer a stroke as white Americans. But there are steps you can take to help beat the odds. Call 1-888-4-STROKE or go to strokeassociation.org.
Join the power to end stroke.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
The First Amendment reads, "The people shall not be deprived or abridged of their right to speak."
The odds are the person you just heard is an African American.
Because African Americans are twice as likely to suffer a stroke as white Americans.
That's twice as likely a stroke could rob you of the freedom to speak your mind.
The freedom to shout from mountaintops.
The freedom to tell your mother you love her.
And it's twice as likely a stroke could take your life.
Therefore, it's twice as crucial for us to do something about preventing a stroke.
Learn how you can help beat the odds.
Start by calling 1-888-4-STROKE or go online to strokeassociation.org.
Join the power to end stroke.
A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Tuesday evening, and thrilled to be with you. And let's keep our fingers crossed that we don't have any more slow doctors for the rest of the week. That would be nice. Your calls are welcome at 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. Email bob@headonradio.com. Chatting madly away in the headonradionetwork.com chat room. Jump right in. It's easy. It's free. And I promise you will have a good time. Let's go to the phones. Rick's been waiting a bit, calling from Panama City, Florida. Hey, Rick, you're head on.
Always trying to get me next to that 8 o'clock hour, just so it's safe.
What do you mean?
Bob? Huh?
I'm doing good. What do you mean?
Well, I'm just joking with you. Don't be so, you know, touchy. But look, you know, I got a few things to talk about with you.
Go, man.
Okay. First off, those PSAs.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to drown kittens as I listened to them. You know, it's just not uplifting.
No, I just told Agnes in our producer chat that these things are turning me into a hypochondriac.
I mean, I want to beat myself in the head with a hammer. I couldn't take it. You know, I'm old, but it's just, please, anything. But you know what I was thinking? Anything to do about the electoral process, Schoolhouse Rock, I'm Just a Bill, something like that, anything, but not that. Not three in a row of "You're going to die." That'll be good. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
That's grim, dude.
Okay, next off about your dad. I've walked a mile in your shoes. I honestly have, right to the bitter end. And somebody's going to walk that mile. My six boys are going to walk that mile with me. And your children are going to walk that mile with you. And that's just the way life is. It's unfair in a lot of ways, but it's the way it works. You have my deepest sympathies.
And I appreciate that.
I wish you nothing.
I'm not complaining, not in the least. Oh,
I know you.
Frankly, Dad and I are having some quality time we haven't had in a long, long time, if ever.
I know, and I got a boy down here doing the same thing with me right now. So I know what you're talking about. Okay? Next.
Yeah.
Lastly, on this house cleaning stuff, Gunny Bob, I made a joke that sent this guy off the cliff, and I accidentally said, and he didn't understand it was a joke, that he was stalking your wife. I want to set the record straight. It was a joke. I know that Gunny Bob is not stalking your wife. So, Gunny Bob, please forgive me. I apologize. It was in bad taste, I guess, in your mind. Now, I would like to deal with some things that are going on in our political system that is really driving me nuts. Ready?
Which one?
Well, there's a lot, but I can only...
I don't know. I don't even know what that means, Rick, whether I mean which problem or which mind or, you know, I don't know.
I know. So I'm only going to deal with one thing at a time. Way back when, 3, 4, 5 years ago, Limbaugh got on his radio station and he said, there are some really great candidates, Democratic candidates, that I want you, my audience, to throw your money behind. They're wackos. They are extraordinary. Let's do it. And he actually got his listeners, and you can look it up. It's documented. Limbaugh got his listeners to contribute money to candidates that were bad for our party, that were the most extremist, the most loud, and most crazy. And they funded the dickens out of them to get them out in the forefront, just enough so they could be heard, so that the American people would be turned off by them. Now, enter in the one and only Rupert Murdoch. Rupert Murdoch has created a liaison and friendship with Hillary Clinton. And he's throwing his entire TV network and all of his money behind Hillary Clinton. Why is he doing that? He's doing that because he knows that no independent voter will vote for Hillary Clinton. I wouldn't vote for Hillary Clinton. And I'm an independent now. So is most of my family. And the reason why he's doing that is to divide our party, the Democratic Party. And this isn't getting any play, and nobody's figuring it out. So I know you have a lot of Democratic underground listeners that will post out there. I know Nan is listening right now and several other fine people on the chat room. You've got to get this out. If you cannot allow people to be this ignorant to let Rupert Murdoch decide who our candidate is going to be. The Democratic DSL or DLC is going to bite on this, the hook, line, and sinker, and we're going to lose. We're going to lose. And the problem is that the reason why they're bringing this out now in this 06 election is to be able to soften up and make aware that this is the process that's going to be for the Republican voters to turn them out in mass, to vote again.
Right. Yeah, Hillary fear.
Exactly.
Sure, and I mean, last night I caught a little bit of our good friend Mike Malloy, and I noticed he did something that was kind of surprising to me. He said somebody needs to send a couple of emails to Bart Kopp.
Yeah, he did.
Telling him about this, because you know, bless his heart, Bart's got a big old blind spot about Hillary.
Yeah,
he don't did. Understand it. But you're spot on this, Rick. They are choosing our candidate for us again, just like they did, just like they chose John Kerry for us.
That's right.
He was a creature of the media. Howard Dean, by all rights, should have been the nominee, was presumptive, you know, the presumptive front runner going into the early days of the primary, and everything was done humanly possible.
That's right. And to
destroy him. And to take away a choice from, you know, in West Virginia today, we had our 2006 primary.
And how that?
That's, you know, that's the, you know what, the second Tuesday in May, and you know, by the time that the primary got around in 2004, we didn't have a choice.
Yeah, well, it's going to keep coming that way unless somebody gets a heads up out to the people that run these blogs and everything else, and I'm hoping that these Democratic Underground folks that listen to you are going to just work on this. I'm telling you right now, you can't get the independents with Hillary, and that guarantees you a loss in 2008.
You can't get me with Hillary, okay?
That's right. But the most important thing is the reason why they're introducing it now is just like you said, Hillary's fear to get the voters out in 2006. Now, they've got plenty of things planned. There's a guy, that one of Bush's guys, that are saying that they're going to be down to 30,000 troops, but, you know, come September
right.
2006. You know, that's his promise. And everybody's ignored it till now. So that might be the October surprise. Hopefully it's something as innocuous as that, other than driving planes into a building to get America's attention, like Bush did the last time. But the point of the matter is that if we let DLC, if we let
the Democratic DLC, Leadership Council,
yeah, if we let them just sink into this and bite on it. I was watching them on C-SPAN today. These guys, my God, they got the best intentions in the world, but I'm going to tell you, they are just so displaced in reality. They just didn't have.
Well, they operate, for starters, Rick. They operate from fear. All right, they're afraid to be what they are. You know, Russ Feingold's out there calling Democrats out and saying we've got to stand for something.
I wish that was true. No, they don't operate from fear. They operate from commitment. They operate from the big money that has invested itself into the Democratic Party as much as it has invested itself into the Republican Party. That's how you get a guy like Joe Biden letting credit card people write his speeches and his legislation to get on the bankruptcy bill. These people are in debt, and they're not willing to go outside or out of the box, to think outside the box, to do what's right for America. They are doing what's right to pay back a debt, and they're willing to lose. The DLC is willing to lose another election. And if we don't get these independents online, because I talk to them every day, I'm a member of clubs and everything like that.
Yeah, but Rick, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but with these independents, you know, I keep getting told that, you know, I'm too radical. I'll drive, you know, my politics will drive the independents away.
No, you're not too radical, but you don't understand that border thing. Okay, they're these guys that are out there that are doing a lot of that, a lot of them are independents, and they understand. A lot of them, not the ones you see on television, the ones that are involved in this situation and the border, they understand that it's destroying America by forcing down wages, et cetera, et cetera. They may understand.
But again, and we don't have time to get into this because Agnes is telling me already I got to get off. But, Rick, blaming the poor dude makes no sense.
No, it makes no sense at all. But if you're going to have to choose. The Democratic Party is going to have to choose between workers, American workers, and the poor dudes. That's what's going to come down to, and you can't have it both ways because the political.
Yeah, but see, Rick, you're leaving out the most critical component, and the most critical component are the sleaze bags that drive the wages down in order to make money for themselves on the bottom line. Unfortunately, we got to leave it at that though because the top of the hour is upon us.
Okay.
I appreciate it, Rick. You take care.
Bye.
Bye now. All right, news and then more of your phone calls, 877, the number 4 head on, 877-443-2366. More of your calls or more of my babble. Oh, look, an Alabama story. I can't wait. I'm Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Head on Radio News, I'm Bruce Birch. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice's abrupt dismissal of a letter from Iran's president might only strengthen hardline attitudes and mistrust of America, some Iranians warned Tuesday. As President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad began a high-profile visit to a key Muslim country, Indonesia, a former top Iranian official said Rice's response will give new justification to those who oppose ties with the U.S. Iran's former ambassador to France, Sadiq Karazi, said the letter, the first from an Iranian head of state to an American president in 27 years, quote, could have been a turning point in relations, unquote. But he said Rice squandered the opportunity with what he called a, quote, hasty reaction, unquote. Senator Frank Lautenberg, Democrat of New Jersey, called on President Bush to ask for the immediate resignation of the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Alfonso Jackson. If a report about government contracts being rewarded based on the contractor's opinion of President Bush are accurate, RawStory.com has learned. Jackson related in a Dallas Business Journal article that when a contractor who was about to be awarded a government contract spoke of his dislike for George Bush, the Secretary of HUD responded this way, quote, brother, you have a disconnect. The president is elected. I was selected. You wouldn't be getting the contract unless I was sitting here. If you have a problem with the president, don't tell the secretary, unquote. Jackson continues, quote, why should I reward someone who doesn't like the president so they can use funds to try to campaign against the president? Logic says they don't get the contract. That's the way I believe, unquote. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist and Democrat Dianne Feinstein have both expressed support for Michael Hayden to be the new CIA director. Despite calls for this post to be held from outside military leadership, Bush nominated Hayden to fill the spot that disgraced former CIA Director Porter Goss resigned from. Bush went to Sun City, Florida today to tell seniors that the Medicare D prescription plan has a deadline and he is not willing to work with them to extend it. Bush said, quote, deadlines help people understand there's finality and people need to get after it, unquote. May 15th is the deadline for seniors enrolled in Medicare Part D to make their final choices of private insurance plans. The plan has been a debacle from the very beginning, and recently independent callers to the helpline to monitor answers reported that 50% of callers received bad information regarding Medicare Part D. More people think Iraq is a mistake 3 years into this war than thought Vietnam was a mistake 3 years into that war. More Americans, 57%, say sending troops to Iraq was a mistake than the 48% who called Vietnam an error in April 1968. That's because more people believe that Vietnam was crucial to U.S. security, scholars say. The poll numbers suggest that George W. Bush may come under overwhelming pressure from voters to resolve the war, as did Lyndon B. Johnson 38 years ago, even though both men vowed to stay the course. This is News on the Horn, the head-on radio network.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Brant Webb has discharged himself from hospital barely 4 hours after he was freed from the Beaconsfield gold mine in Australia, with he and fellow mine escapee Todd Russell determined to attend today's funeral for fallen comrade Larry Knight. The condition of the men has astonished rescuers and medical attendants. They walked out of the mine at 5:59 a.m. to an ecstatic national outpouring of emotion 2 weeks after the rock fall that trapped them in a tiny cage and killed Knight. Dr. Ayer said both men had expressed their desire to attend Knight's funeral this afternoon and were unlikely to return to the hospital for treatment afterwards. Volkswagen's Brazilian labor union said on Friday it expects more than 5,700 jobs will be cut in the next 3 years, but the German automaker denied the figure. Still, Volkswagen's Brazil unit said this week it may have to lay off workers because of a strong local currency is hurting exports. Thousands of job cuts and production slashes are inevitable, Volkswagen said in a statement on Wednesday. As a bankruptcy judge listens today to arguments on whether to terminate Delphi Corp's labor agreements, local union members will be casting ballots on whether to strike. The strike vote is conditional as the bankruptcy court has made no ruling on whether it will grant a motion by Delphi to terminate its collective bargaining arrangements. United Auto Workers cannot strike unless the bankruptcy court rules in Delphi's favor. If union members vote in favor of a strike, however, a second vote would be unnecessary if the court terminates the labor agreement. A strike could begin immediately. For Head On Radio Network News, I'm Bruce Birch.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
You darn sure are. I'm Bob. This is Head On. It's your nightly confrontation with the facts, or yeah, given the amount of daylight in the sky, it's your eveningly confrontation with it. Whatever. What it is fun. At least for me, it is. I have a blast with this. I love talking to you guys. And, you know, and ladies, women, gals, I read a little thing in, Ask Amy, now that Dear Abby's gone or whatever. Someone saying that they resent being, you know, they go to a restaurant and, you know, it's McHappy Fats or whatever, and the waiter comes over and says, you know, to a table full of women. Well, what will you guys be having for dinner? And the writer said, I don't know. We'll let you know if we see any guys. And I'm guilty of that. Boy, am I guilty of that. So I apologize if anybody's offended. The phone number you know already, 877-443-2366, 877, the number 4, Head On. Easy, and Agnes will take your call, let me know you're there. And the next thing you know, you will be engaging in this phenomenon, this very rare phenomenon, I might add, that we like to call conversation radio. And on you know, you can also interact with other listeners at the Head-On with other listeners in a more textual, permanent way on the message boards at headonradio.com. If you have trouble logging in, just drop me an email to bob@headonradio.com, and I'll try to make sure that it works next time. I don't know why, but sometimes we have to monkey with it a little bit to get new accounts activated. And a reminder for you, our good friend Shelby Lepre at radiopower.org is still in the process of raising funds to recover from the really ugly, nasty lightning strike that she took that destroyed a whole bunch of RadioPower.org's equipment. She's trying to raise $5,000. If you could boost her along, it would be a big help, and it would help this program as well because, as you know, there are a lot of folks who listen to the show on Radio Power the next day. For instance, this program will air Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific. And that's a wonderful little slot, too, I might add. It has really helped to grow the program, so we really appreciate Shelby's efforts, and Shelby will appreciate any support that you can lend her. Now, I said I had an Alabama story. There are two, actually. One of them is what went down this past Saturday, about 30, 35 miles from where I am now, in Franklin County, Alabama, Russellville. Now, you know, if you're down here, it's not Russellville, it's Russellville. You don't pronounce Russellville. And the Klan marched in Russell on Saturday. Because, you see, there is a huge, well, relatively speaking, a very large immigrant population down there. They work in a chicken processing plant. You know, more of those jobs that Americans won't do, as Dear Leader likes to say. But the Klan was there because, you know, these Mexican and Costa Rican and Guatemalan and Salvadoran and Honduran people, they're not white enough to suit the Klan, and, you know, they're taking away Klansmen's jobs, right? And so the Klan protested, and several people said, "We're with the Klan. The Klan's usually wrong, but this time they're spot on. We're with the Klan." Now, we didn't have time to get into the discussion, but I was told by the last caller that I'm wrong on the immigration issue, that these brown people are going to be the destruction of our nation. Don't think so. But I do want you to remember that if you're not with me on this issue, it really is a black and white issue. There's no gray. You're standing on the same side with the Klan. And I just ask you, do you want to? Do you want to be on the same side of this issue with Michael Savage? Do you want to be on the same side of this issue with O'Reilly and Hannity? Do you want to? Is that really where your morality and your soul lays? You know, I'm a little bit surprised because there are the erstwhile progressives and liberals out there in the talkosphere who have decided to side with Hannity and Savage and O'Reilly and the Klan. Really, do you want to be there? I don't know. I don't know. So the other Alabama story, I mean, I can't be away, you know, from my father for too very long, or else I would have been in Russellville. Because somebody needs to stand up to these thugs, these haters, these monsters, these people who seem to think that they've got, I don't know, it's like Dr. Seuss's The Sneetches, only the stars are on their DNA and not their bellies. God almighty. Now the other Alabama story. Northport is a community that is near Tuscaloosa, where, of course, the University of Alabama is. That's the University of Alabama. I'm not talking about that other school down in the corner of the state. Northport, McDonald's. Customers will get more than a burger and fries at the Northport McDonald's, where President Reagan chomped down on a Big Mac during a 1984 stop. They'll get to see a bronze bust of the former president, whose head is probably as empty as the real one's was, I might add, inside a case with a halogen light shining on it 24 hours a day. Now, there's they blow up mountains to keep the light on Reagan's head, dear God. Along with a plaque, there's a framed photo showing Reagan biting down on his Big Mac. All right, the dirty minds in the audience can stop now. We just felt like we wanted to put something back to carry on that remembrance, said Rick Hanna Sr., the new owner of the fast food restaurant. President stopped at the McDonald's at the McDonald's on October 15, 1984, followed a speech on the University of Alabama campus. With news media on hand, he ordered Big Mac, large fries, and sweet tea, and sat down to eat with locals Charles Patterson and Greg Pearson. The plaque put up by previous owners was often stolen, but when Hanner tore down the old building and renovated, he decided to keep the memory alive. The Tuscaloosa News reported Monday, atop the case are the words that bring back the historic moment. President Reagan ate here. I don't know. Somehow in my mind, there's a big difference between George Washington slept here and President Reagan stopped for, Ronnie Reagan stopped in Tuscaloosa for a burger and a photo op in the midst of screwing America. But down here, you know, there's still a lot of reverence among the, so-called Reagan Democrats for that evil, hateful, empty-headed old man. And I don't know why. That man presided over a lot of hell and damnation in this in this area, in this country. But you can go to McDonald's in Northport, Alabama, get yourself a hamburger and fries, and go rent Supersize Me and watch it again before you do that. And you can gaze lovingly on the bust of, well, after all, I don't know what they're complaining about, because ketchup is a vegetable. Yeah, that guy. The ketchup is a vegetable guy. The facts are stupid things guy. You ever notice that we don't get these verbal ignorant gaffes when you've got a Democratic vice president or a Democratic president in office? You only get it from freaks and fools like Ronald Reagan and George Bush. So they'll have this bust up, and I give it a year before somebody. I swear, I seen the bust of Reagan. It winked at me. I think it's possessed by Jesus. That's a holy bust of Reagan. He's a saint after all. We ought to be putting him on the dime. We's going to, but Nancy said it wasn't right that we ought to keep that cripple on the dime. You know, Roosevelt. I don't know why. He's a communist. Let's take a break. Your phone calls are welcome. 877, the number 4, head on 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. This is from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote, and then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found the first sign. A small, discolored hard patch of plastic on my right shoulder. I thought it would go away on its own, but it didn't. It kept spreading. And when I could no longer conceal it with a t-shirt, I knew I had to see the doctor. He said I had this early stage of mannequinism and that my only hope was to get involved, even if it was something simple. So I began reading the newspaper and instantly got feeling back in my arm. I guess you could say I'm living proof you can fight mannequinism.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
In the beginning, there was dirt, water, and air. And it was good. Once, Planet Check. Planet Check.
With gas prices skyrocketing at the pump, there is a cheap, renewable alternative fuel.
Rudolph Diesel actually designed the diesel engine to run on vegetable oil over 100 years ago.
A diesel engine that runs on used vegetable oil?
We get the used vegetable oil from fast food restaurants.
Bio-diesel. It's called biodiesel.
I got a biodiesel.
Joshua Tickle, author of From the Fryer to the Fuel Tank, explains.
Biodiesel is a clean-burning diesel fuel that's actually made from vegetable oil. It's usable in any diesel engine. You don't have to modify the engine. You just pour biodiesel right into it.
Pour some veggie fuel into that tank.
The environmental benefits of biodiesel are that it's cleaner, it's healthy for humans, plants, and animals.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
I'm Bob Kincaid. It's a lovely Tuesday evening. We had some hellacious thunderstorms blow through before the program started, but the clouds have mostly blown away. And I mean, it got dark as night here for a little bit. Had some hail, some donder and blitzen. You know, the sideways rain stuff that usually only happens when I'm on the golf course. But it's all gone away now. I'm told that I have ruffled a feather. Agnes, bring on Rick, please.
Hello.
Hey, Rick, welcome back. Yeah, welcome back.
I'm sorry to call back a second time, but just because I play Wolfenstein on a network with my kids doesn't mean I ain't listening on another computer. And for you to say your last caller is, you know, you're either with the good guys or you're with the Klan was very unfair.
Rick. I'm sorry. This is not a multifaceted issue. This is a simple issue.
Yes, it is.
No, the Klan is on one side and I'm on the other.
Just because you say it isn't doesn't make it true. And let me.
No, Rick. Wait a minute. It is true.
Yeah, well,
the fact of the matter is, there are people out there like the Klan and like these idiots down on the border running around with their guns and their Winnebagos, and there are the other and there's the other side of the debate. This isn't a multifaceted debate. There's only two sides on this.
You're ready to listen? Let me know. You ready?
Rick, go ahead.
Okay, here's the situation. Okay, I'm trying to win elections in this country. I'm trying to make sure that the Democrats take the House and hopefully the Senate in 2006 and hopefully the White House in 2008. I come from a perspective of people that I talk to in this America. And believe me, that it's as diverse as they can get. I'm the guy that interviewed Fred Phelps on the air and was told, because I believe in equal protection, he's going to picket my funeral. I got my bona fides. Let me tell you something about this issue about immigration, and it's just the way it is. And I hope Wayne will call in and give his point of view on this, the union guy. Because this is the way it is. These people are being used. They're stuck in the middle. Their country is forcing them over here. Bush is ready to use them over here. But the fact of the matter is that the guest worker program is about destroying the minimum wage and driving our wages down to compete in the global economy. And if these people are able to get themselves inside of a guest worker program, it's going to be bad for American labor. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Now, as far as the border, for Pete's sakes, if you can't give these guys that, yes, maybe they've got some issues. I don't know what they are. But you've got to reach them on a fundamental level that says the law is the law and that you've got to enforce your borders. You've got to do that. You can't win by poking fun at them as a Democrat and expect them to respect you and vote for you. In the meantime,
are you under the impression that I am stupid enough to believe that any of those border freaks down there in Arizona would ever vote for a Democratic candidate?
No, I'm not on.
They wouldn't. Okay, wait, don't kid yourself.
Wait. Don't give me an ad hoc argument. Here's the situation. There are people that are looking at what they're doing and that are being duped and fooled. They're not seeing the bigger picture. They're not seeing what's really going on. That this situation down in the border is all, it's just like, it's window dressing. It doesn't serve what they want.
That's the whole point, Rick. This whole debate is a fraud.
Yes, it is.
It's a fake. It's a phony.
But you cannot slaughter those voters over the fact that they're being taken by it. You can't do that and make them feel like a...
you're right, Rick. All I can do is explain that they are. And yes, that is why I said that if... Rick, wait. That is why I said... That on one side of this debate is the Klan and the Republican Party, and on the other side of this, on the other side of the debate are people with decent humanistic values.
Yes, they have decent humanistic values, but you can't be calling them part of the Klan because they don't agree with
them. I didn't say they were part of the Klan. I said you're standing with them.
Yeah, you're standing with them, but, well, guess what?
The same thing applied in Texas when they had their stupid little marriage constitutional amendment.
But you've
the churches stood with the Klan, for Christ's sakes.
Okay, give me a chance. Give me a chance, because you got the microphone. Here's the situation. What they see is the borders aren't closed. And then when they're talking about taking away all of their civil rights, and here's the way it works. On 9-11, supposedly Osama bin Laden attacked America. On 9-12, every American became a suspect. And then they started taking all the rights away. So then they start getting into this situation of profiling this one, the Arabs, and locking them up, and rendition, and all this kind of thing. Now they moved on to, oh, the Mexican coming up the ladder is bad. However, he's good. I mean, it's enough to make the head spin. In the meantime, all these independent voters are going, and some of the more conservative, the Democrats, I might add, are going like, wait a second, why do I have to give up my rights? Why do I have to give up my rate of pay? Why do I have to give up my job security for these guys coming up from the border that are illegal? If you could just look at it from their standpoint and understand that all they're trying to do is protect their income, their jobs, their way of life, who they are. And they know, and we all know, that every time there's an influx of labor, it's supply and demand. They've admitted it. The government's admitted it. It's like gasoline. The more supply, the lesser the price. The less supply, the higher the price. That's how they explain gasoline. Well, here they are. They want to interject all these workers that will do all of our work for less. These guys are trying to stand up for their families, for the American flag, and for what they believe in, the Constitution. They're trying to say this is wrong.
What is wrong? What is wrong? Identify the wrong part of it.
Having 12, 14, 20 million illegals come in and depress American wages. It's wrong.
And the illegals are the so-called illegals are the ones who are doing that, right, Rick?
The illegals are
because
not
they're
the
coming
ones.
They're coming here and they're looking at that construction contractor and they're saying I want to work for less money.
Ask your people on the chat room, you are missing. I posted several things on the chat room, and people went there. I believe in arresting the employers. I believe in that. And so do all of these other people. For Pete's sake, Fox News, O'Reilly.
Since 2000, there have been 318 prosecutions. 318.
But listen to what I'm going to tell you. O'Reilly ran on his rotten show. He ran a poll that surprised him. His eyebrows went up. He asked the question, do you support arresting employers for hiring illegals? 55% of these people said yes. They voted yes. 45% said no. Okay? They're getting it. They're understanding it. They're getting the Democratic point of view. They understand that this is not good for American labor. It's finally hitting home. And we can't walk by that and not see that as what it is. It's not a case of race. It's not a case of the poor guy versus the rich guy. This is about American
Isn't it?
Jobs. Pardon me?
Isn't it? Isn't this a case of the poor guy against the rich guy?
It's about...
Because the poor guy's not out there doing the hiring, Rick.
No.
I mean, this is the same. I mean, this is the same issue, really, as what you have every time some weirdo right winger in some state legislature says we need to repeal the prevailing wage laws because some rich contractor has wait, please. I gave you a lot of time to talk, Rick.
You're not listening.
It's my turn. Listening, Rick. I just told you it is the same thing as the prevailing wage debate. It's the same thing as the right to work law debate. You are correct in what you say about the potential depression of wages. It does happen. It does happen. But the response to that is not to blame it on the guy who's taken the wages. The response to that is to take appropriate action with the people who are paying those depressed wages.
How did I blame it on the people taking the job? How did I do that?
Well, first of all, you're saying that they're taking jobs.
And they're not?
No, they're not. They are not taking jobs, Rick. They are being hired at rates that people cannot afford to take and work. I mean, look, here's another good example. Delphi. There are union auto workers there making $30 an hour, and Delphi told them to take $9 an hour or walk.
Yeah.
They can't take that $9 an hour.
No.
There's no way they can do it.
But the illegals can.
Can they?
Yeah. Yes, they can.
How? It's a union shop.
It's very, very simple. No, it's a union shop right now. But once these guys get shut out and starve on their strike, and they will starve, the next people that come in are going to take the $9 an hour, whether it's illegals.
So the answer is to lash out at the illegals.
No, the answer is to protect American jobs at all costs by securing the borders, by making sure that everybody has a right to a living wage. And you want to
secure the American borders with these goobers running around with their Winnebagos and high-powered rifles? Is that it?
No, I don't want to secure the borders that
way. I mean, if you want to do something sane about the borders, here's what you do. You don't build a wall. You don't build fences. You don't build pyramids. You reestablish this is my primary concern with so-called unfettered or illegal immigration is more of a health issue than anything else.
Well, what do you
and to the same extent that Ellis Island served a purpose in keeping out people who could be potential spreaders of disease.
How are you going to do that?
We need an Ellis Island. We need a series of Ellis Islands on the border.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Agreed.
And a system that says to people who want to come here, we are not going to, A, turn our head, or B, let you come to this country and be abused.
And how do you do that?
With this series of Ellis Island type. And when they get here
and
they have their card, they cannot then be hired at substandard wages. Mandate wage reform in this country, and you will end the illegal immigration problem.
That's right. By imprisoning employers who do the wrong stuff, correct?
That's all. Yes.
Exactly.
5 years in Club Fed and a $2 or $3 million fine. The guys who are hiring these people are doing so for predatory reasons. They're not building the American dream for Pablo or Juan. They're abusing Pablo and Juan.
That's right. They are. They are exactly. And that is why I tried to tell you that these guys that are down on this border, they are misled.
They're freaks.
You've got to bring them to the fold. Not the nutcases. People that are...
Well, that's who's down there, Rick, is nutcases, and that's all that's down there. The Minuteman Project, all of that hooey, they're nut jobs. And they are right-wing freaks, and they're Klansmen without sheets. I'm sorry, they just are. Okay, we got to take our bottom-of-the-hour break. I've run over. But, I want to give people a chance to make their point on this, but I still cannot come down on blaming poor people. And I won't. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. The sudden resignation of CIA Director Porter Goss has raised more questions about how the so-called professional media handles news these days. While his name has never been specifically mentioned, he's apparently involved in the Hookers for Favors scandal that's just coming to light. Glenn Greenwald of Unclaimed Territory points out that sex scandals featuring Democrats were investigated quite thoroughly and quite publicly during the Clinton era, yet somehow you barely hear a peep out of the professional pundits about Republican sex scandals. Why is that? I mean, I can understand covering sex scandals that involve both parties because, hey, sex sells, you know? I can also understand not covering these stories on the premise that it has nothing to do with the actual performance of a politician. Though in this case, since Republicans were trading rides with hookers for political favors, it kind of sort of is about a politician's performance. I also think it's fair game to cover a politician's sex scandal if the politician in question makes a big deal about morals and family values. The only conclusion that makes any sense to this observer is that the professional media is heavily biased towards Republicans. Maybe they're on the take, maybe they just like them more, who knows? The right has screamed for ages about the liberal media, but that was and is a total myth. Anyone who takes a good look at how the media operates these days can see the double standard pretty clearly. Whatever the real reasons for it, the one-sided reporting is dangerous, especially when you have a government run by liars and criminals. Now get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show via streaming audio every Saturday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Things come out, like the Klan coming down on the side of the vigilantes and the people who think that poor brown people are, you know, the problem. You know, I want wage reform in this country. Do you know how, I mean, you do, I'm sure, know how long it's been since we had a meaningful rise in the minimum wage? I want the American dream to be the American reality for all of us. Period. Now there are health issues involved, and we live in an increasingly fragile world, subject to disease. That's probably the greatest. I mean, if there is threat from illegal immigration, I even hate that phrase. The health issue is profound. Whether it's TB or HIV or God knows any number of other diseases. And we are in the middle of a con. This is a con, pure and simple. Because on the one hand, you got George Bush out there saying, that he's got a, you know, compassionate conservatism with his guest worker program. Do you know that people in his guest worker program, if they try to organize a union, they can be shipped back to Mexico or wherever it is they came from? Sure. That's no, you know, you're no guest when you're not even allowed to stand up for your own right to make a decent wage. That's where this lies. That's where the problem is. Right to work laws. The people who want to take away prevailing wage jobs. Prevailing wage jobs benefit people, whether they're union or non-union. It says that we're not going to spend public money on building projects and rip off workers in the process. Oh, my God. Ben has been waiting for a while. Hey, Ben, you're head on.
Hey there, Bob.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. I've got a solution to this whole Mexican and other immigration problem that doesn't involve arresting anybody.
Okay.
Not the employers, not the immigrants, no one. And that is, we make them all legal. In fact, we make it legal for anybody who is not a criminal or a person with the plague to enter the United States without question. Then everybody is subject to exactly the same laws we all are, including the minimum wage, including OSHA, including all the various regulations that guest workers would not be subject to. You know, you'll be able to kill them. Guest workers are not going to be protected by OSHA whatsoever.
No. And, you know, and anybody who thinks that these contractors out there are paying workers' comp on these so-called guest workers is self-deluded.
Precisely. And the minute the playing field is leveled like that, where you can no longer claim to be paying the minimum wage, but you're really only paying them for 8 hours of the 16 you work them, things like that.
Right.
As long as, and once they're all legal, once they're all in the same status as we are, once they can complain when they are abused like that by Walmart, which, you know, Walmart's one of the big abusers of illegals. They bring them in, call them contractors, to clean their stores, lock them in all night. All right. And the quote unquote contractors are not paid enough that any of them could even be making a quarter of minimum wage. All right? You know, once you make that illegal by making them legal, okay, and that when they can complain, when they can go to the wage and hour office and complain, when they're actually earning Social Security money and putting it away, then the problem disappears. First of all, leveling the playing field like that makes it much less likely that anybody is going to, pull in people from Mexico to hire. Okay, the fact that it's not a level playing field now, the fact that you can abuse a migrant by paying him a substandard wage, is what makes it so attractive to business that they've got to do it. And the guest worker program, the Bracero is what they used to call that, and there used to be a guest worker program.
Yeah, back in the 30s, 40s.
Yes, they were called Braceros, and they were abused. You know, you could literally murder one, and the cops wouldn't even investigate.
Yeah.
Okay. We, America is, you know, look at the poem on the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, you know, the wretched.
Your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, yeah.
Yeah.
Emma Lazarus.
Emma Lazarus. That's the America I believe in. My grandmother came over to this country after World War I as a teenage girl. You know, she came over here with nothing but $30 in her pocket, and which a cabbie ripped her off for on her way out of the boat terminal after Ellis Island. You know, she asked mm-hmm. to drive her to the train station where she had the ticket to go to Chicago, and the guy charged her $30 for the trip. And she didn't know what a dollar was. You know, in Germany, 30 marks didn't buy you anything then. Okay, so she's getting
right.
the $30, and she didn't have a bite to eat all the way to Chicago. You know, where her sister was waiting for her, because she had given all her money to the cabbie. But you know, she didn't have to jump through hoops to come to this country. You know, in that era, you basically just came. You know, yeah, there were some quotas, mostly for Irish people. You know, we forget that it was the Irish menace originally.
Yeah.
You know, people complained back then about all the Irishmen coming to this country.
And the Italian menace.
Yep, yep. You know, we've just replaced one hated immigrant group for another. And that is beneath us. America has to be a place of liberty where anybody can go. And if that happens, you know, there's three or four things that accrue from that. Number one, when you bring in migrants, you know, people think, oh, they're going to take all of our services. They're going to use them. Well, you know, even the Cato Institute knows better. The Cato Institute has shown that immigrants to the United States, legal immigrants, which if you adopt what I'm saying, they all will be legal. Legal immigrants to this country use about one-third of the public assistance services that legal, born-here residents use.
Yeah.
Okay? They have a work ethic. They are hardworking people. They build communities. I see that here in Elgin, Illinois. The Latino community here is, I think, wonderful. They're opening businesses. They are building this community. And I don't want to see any of them having to have their uncle who lives with them sent home because he's undocumented. I think they ought to just all be allowed to stay here. And the thing is, when you can have people coming in from anywhere, you know, if people from Iran could move here without restrictions, and people from Iraq could move here without restrictions, and people from China could move here without restrictions. You know, it becomes much less likely that anybody is going to make terroristic war upon us because your uncle lives here.
Yeah, you run the chance of killing your own.
You're not going to do it if your uncle's here. You're not going to do it if your sister is living in New York City. You're not going to think, I think that I'm upset with the United States this week, so I'm going to release some anthrax in Central Park. Nope. You're not going to want to do that because your Aunt Faru lives there, all right?
Yeah, sure. And well, you know, there are two sides to the issue, Ben, but there are subsets within the issue that are complicated. For instance, how about your pro-lifers? You know, they're more and more turning toward, you know, their next big goal is to wipe out birth control.
You betcha.
And yet, you know, there's a pro-life Republican ladies group here in Alabama that you remember we had the story about the anchor babies?
Yep.
A few months back, you know, they hate Mexican babies, but they're pro-life.
Well, you know,
so, you know, the United States, I mean, if we're really worried about people flooding our borders, we ought to be, for all that we're worth, we ought to be dropping condoms by plane loads across peasant communities in Central America just to cut down on the birth rate. But, of course, there's a church down there that says that every sperm is sacred.
Oh,
so they have to breed.
Oh, I really believe they want to push... you know, push the anti-abortion thing back to where a wet dream will be punishable murder.
Oh, God. And women in emergency rooms that have miscarriages get investigated by the police to make sure that they didn't do anything to cause it.
Yep, exactly. You know, my personal belief is that the standard we have to adopt is that there's no human being until the first breath. And that's it, period. Doesn't take a breath on its own, it's not human.
It's not living.
That's right. Then, well, okay, you know, so I'm a firm believer in open borders. I think that the thing we do after we open our borders is we start doing the things we need to do to strengthen the labor movement. We get the Taft-Hartley labor law of 1946 repealed because Taft-Hartley gets in the way of organizing.
It's the reason it's an uphill battle. Wayne has told us on a number of occasions how hard it is to organize a union in anywhere in this country. On the other hand, you talk about border crossings. You go into Canada, half the group signs a card, bang, it's a union.
Exactly.
But not down here. Oh no, you got to have a year, and you got to have more elections, and you got to give the company enough time to scare the life out of the workers. You know, don't you join that damn thing?
Well, you know, Walmart just actually sends goons around to break your ankles.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, if we're going to have this debate, we should have it honestly. I personally think that this thing is a ginned up fraud. Meant to very effectively divide otherwise decent, progressive, liberal people.
Exactly. It is the employing class in this country turning two groups of the working class against each other, and doing so very successfully, doing so very skillfully, such that the people who are working for a living and finding that the employers are screwing them left and right are now blaming the immigrants.
All over the country, Ben, it's people who vote Republicans because they're fools and they listen to, I don't need no union. I don't need no union. Unions is day is done. I have a safe workplace and a 40-hour work week. I don't need no union.
Exactly right.
And so right-to-work laws get passed. You don't have a union. They can you. They move the factory, you know, to wherever, or else they depress the wages to the point that, you can't work there anymore. Now,
right.
brown people didn't do any of that.
And that's not the fault of the immigrants who take those jobs with depressed wages. They're just taking those jobs because they're the only ones they're offered.
Yeah. Exactly. Ben, we got to roll on. Thank you. Thank you so much for a reasonable approach. I do appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And to David quickly, back in Tennessee, I think we've started a rolling conversation tonight. Hey, David, you're head on.
Well, it'll be very quick because I had I'd been motivated to call in to balance what Brother Rick said, but gee whiz, Mr. Birch took care of that. You know, I should probably talk to you about any good books you've read lately.
No, please share what you had.
I did. I'm sorry. Ben took care of it. I have been.
Oh, he literally physically said what you were going to say.
No, he went beyond. He transcended. He made me a big never mind. It was just like, okay, that's a larger idea. I took copious notes. I need to study up before I say another word because all I wanted to do was say, you know, we need to pursue those darned employers. I was just very, very relieved when he said it was the employing class that was setting two groups of employees against each other, just as an almost throwaway wrap-up statement. I felt somewhat vindicated because...
Yeah, it's the oldest trick in the book. I mean, it happened all over West Virginia. It happened all over the coal fields in the first part of the 20th century when people tried to organize the mine workers. Immigrants were brought in, Italians, Hungarians, Eastern Europeans of all stripe were brought in as strike breakers. And the miners then turned and started organizing them. And it took as much as 50 years in some places, but they accomplished the goal of organizing those mines. And we have had to have the active participation of government in rolling back those labor rights in order to break the union again. And, you know, frankly, the United Mine Workers is near broken.
Oh, the Republican Party wants 1920. They want to have 1920. So that they can then use their media expertise to convince America that 1920 wasn't bad, won't be bad, and the fact that they are screwing every worker is a good thing. So, yes, they want to turn back the clock and cause us to eat it and smile. But
right. You know, the I don't like the phrase illegals. I don't like the, you know, aliens, all of that stuff. The one thing they are is undocumented.
Now that
and that has an ugly flavor of, you know, your papers are not in order. But the fact of the matter is, if you are undocumented, that means that that we don't know you're here. And by virtue of we don't know you're here, we can't protect you. And if we can't protect you, you can be subjected to those slave wages. You can be worked for 16 hours and paid for 8.
And if,
so, you know, there's where, yeah, sure, some document. Everybody gets a green card? Everybody gets minimum wage? A living wage?
Just
that fixes this.
Wage reform for all. Wage reform for all. And if there aren't jobs at a good wage, then there aren't jobs. But then we wouldn't have that problem. They wouldn't be streaming here. But as it is now, it's just a horrible situation because they can be taken advantage of, are taken advantage of. I watched it in my own workplace in the last 10 days. Supervisors for a company that I work for the very, very short time being, joked with two Spanish speakers about why they weren't out on the street marching so that they could be fired. I had to listen to that.
No, that's a real knee slapper.
I had to listen to that a week ago Monday. I had to listen to a supervisor say, well, any of those marches, that's a great place for a bomb. I'd like to be in a helicopter if the bombs aren't available. I'd like to be in a helicopter with a machine gun. You march against America, I will happily kill you. Then he smiled and reminded
us. Guy's last name isn't Connor, and his first name isn't Bull, is it?
Might as well be. Never mind the name. We won't go there. But it was just one of those things that made me say that, you know, hatred comes around again. Misunderstanding and ignorance comes around again. Misunderstanding, hatred, and ignorance comes around again, fostered by the Republican Party, encouraged by the Republican Party, and harvested by the Republican Party.
And they march on a road of bones. David, thank you very kindly.
Talk to you later, Bob.
All right.
See ya.
Okay, it's time for the. Well, we're at the top of the hour. We've done another 2 hours. Two more hours gone where the candle flame goes when you blow it out. I think, you know, I don't mean to be simplistic. There are two classes of people in this country. There are people who work. If somebody else signs your check, you're a worker. And if you're a worker, there's no difference between you and a guy who digs ditches or picks lettuce or swabs toilet. And if you think there is, you're a damn fool. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On Radio News, I'm Bruce Birch. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice's abrupt dismissal of a letter from Iran's president might only strengthen hardline attitudes and mistrust of America, some Iranians warned Tuesday. As President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad began a high-profile visit to a key Muslim country, Indonesia, a former top Iranian official said Rice's response will give new justification to those who oppose ties with the U.S., Iran's former ambassador to France, Sadiq Karazi, said the letter, the first from an Iranian head of state to an American president in 27 years, quote,
could have been a turning point in relations, unquote. But he said Rice squandered the opportunity with what he called a, quote, hasty reaction, unquote. Senator Frank Lautenberg, Democrat of New Jersey, called on President Bush to ask for the immediate resignation of the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Alfonso Jackson. If a report about government contracts being rewarded based on the contractor's opinion of President Bush are accurate, RawStory.com has learned. Jackson related in a Dallas Business Journal article that when a contractor who was about to be awarded a government contract spoke of his dislike for George Bush, the Secretary of HUD responded this way, quote, "Brother, you have a disconnect. The president is elected. I was selected. You wouldn't be getting the contract unless I was sitting here. If you have a problem with the president, don't tell the secretary," unquote. Jackson continues, quote, "Why should I reward someone who doesn't like the president so they can use funds to try to campaign against the president? Logic says they don't get the contract. That's the way I believe," unquote. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist and Democrat Dianne Feinstein have both expressed support for Michael Hayden to be the new CIA director. Despite calls for this post to be held from outside military leadership, Bush nominated Hayden to fill the spot that disgraced former CIA Director Porter Goss resigned from. Bush went to Sun City, Florida today to tell seniors that the Medicare D prescription plan has a deadline and he is not willing to work with them to extend it. Bush said, quote, "Deadlines help people understand there's finality and people need to get after it," unquote. May 15th is the deadline for seniors enrolled in Medicare Part D to make their final choices of private insurance plans. The plan has been a debacle from the very beginning, and recently independent callers to the helpline to monitor answers reported that 50% of callers received bad information regarding Medicare Part D. More people think Iraq is a mistake 3 years into this war than thought Vietnam was a mistake 3 years into that war. More Americans, 57%, say sending troops to Iraq was a mistake than the 48% who called Vietnam an error in April 1968. That's because more people believe that Vietnam was crucial to U.S. security, scholars say. The poll numbers suggest that George W. Bush may come under overwhelming pressure from voters to resolve the war, as did Lyndon B. Johnson 38 years ago, even though both men vowed to stay the course. This is News on the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Brant Webb has discharged himself from hospital barely 4 hours after he was freed from the Beaconsfield gold mine in Australia, with he and fellow mine escapee Todd Russell determined to attend today's funeral for fallen comrade Larry Knight. The condition of the men has astonished rescuers and medical attendants. They walked out of the mine at 5:59 a.m. to an ecstatic national outpouring of emotion 2 weeks after the rockfall that trapped them in a tiny cage and killed Knight. Dr. Ayer said both men had expressed their desire to attend Knight's funeral this afternoon and were unlikely to return to the hospital for treatment afterwards. Volkswagen's Brazilian labor union said on Friday it expects more than 5,700 jobs will be cut in the next 3 years, but the German automaker denied the figure. Still, Volkswagen's Brazil unit said this week it may have to lay off workers because of a strong local currency is hurting exports. Thousands of job cuts and production slashes are inevitable, Volkswagen said in a statement on Wednesday. As a bankruptcy judge listens today to arguments on whether to terminate Delphi Corp's labor agreements, local union members will be casting ballots on whether to strike. The strike vote is conditional, as the bankruptcy court has made no ruling on whether it will grant a motion by Delphi to terminate its collective bargaining arrangements. United Auto Workers cannot strike unless the bankruptcy court rules in Delphi's favor. If union members vote in favor of a strike, however, a second vote would be unnecessary if the court terminates the labor agreement. A strike could begin immediately. For Head On Radio Network News, I'm Bruce Birch.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, welcome back to the final hour of Head On for this Tuesday evening. And night has finally fallen here down in the last little toaster. My lovely wife, producer, engineer, Agnes, back home at the Head On main studios in a remote undisclosed location in West Virginia, doing a great job. And everyone's having a lively little chat in the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room. Jump on by if you've never been there. It's easy. It's free, and it's fun. Now, you know the phone number if you want to jump in. There's plenty of time left. An email from our buddy Andy in the Netherlands. Ever notice that the following are not part of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not tell a lie. Thou shalt not bribe or take bribes. Thou shalt not defraud another. Thou shalt not exploit another's weakness. Thou shalt not blame another for one's own faults. Thou shalt not be a Republican, etc., etc., etc. Just an observation, says Andy. And a freighted observation at that, because, nah, it's not there. And, you know, that's the way it is. Well, you know, it ain't the Ten Commandments. We ain't got to obey it. Ain't nothing wrong with it. That's, you know, that's Republicanism in its rarest, finest form. Despicable SOBs that they are. And catching up with some email from our friend Roz, I made a comment or made a query Friday evening about Mary Bono. I asked if she was an Orange County congressperson. Mary Bono is not an Orange County congressperson, as I'm certain many have emailed you. Sonny was elected from the Palm Springs, California district after his stint as mayor. Mary Bono is a Valley Girl type twit. Chaz is Mary Bono's son who can't afford to go to college because Mary doesn't make enough being a congress critter at $165,000 plus a year. She says, my sister's son and Chaz played t-ball together. My sister, never a sparkling judge of character, became good friends with Mary. It figures that a clueless retirement community would keep electing her because she is as engaged as she is, which is not at all. And Roz reminds me, I live in Orange County now, and we have our own special idiot congressperson, Dana Rohrabacher, so please don't saddle us with Mary Bono. Thanks, Roz. Yeah, you've got your own problem. Oh, Dana Rohrabacher. Yeah, I don't know, is he better or worse than David Dreyer? Because David Dreyer is just icky. Rohrabacher's one of the really crazy, virulent right-wing freaks along the same... Oh, who's that awful... I can't remember his name. He's out of there now, but he had a radio show for a while. And he talked about, things that, the Virgin Mary gave birth to Ronald Reagan. That, you know, one of those creeps. But Dana Rohrabacher is really, really bad. Let's go to the phones. Jim's been waiting, and I appreciate it. Thanks for waiting, Jim. You're Head On.
Yeah, I'm not an immigration specialist, and I don't have the answer to the immigration problem. But as far as viewing everything in terms of black or white, I think it was Goethe who said we also have shades of gray and green. And the only other thing I can say is this. You're never going to put a Democrat in the White House unless you get Texas. So you can take that and figure that out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got to say, buddy. Good night.
So Texas, now, Jim, Texas is the linchpin then?
Yes, it is. You look at it historically, it's very important. And, you know, I can't judge people unless I'm down there, you know, looking at it. And I just say that when you start saying everything is either black or white, that's when, you know, I close the watertight doors, and you know, that's it.
Well, I understand that, Jim. But what I was trying to point out is that I tend to believe in shades of gray as well. I often complain that that we see the gray where the other side sees black and white. On this issue, however, I'm trying to get across the idea, Jim, that when you've got the Klan on one side and something else on the other, if you're on the same side as the Klan is, you're on the same side as the Klan is, and that is kind of black or white, isn't it?
Well, the gospel according to Bob, the gospel according to Bob is not necessarily always the truth. I mean, if the world were flat and you should command it would be round, will it be round, or if it were flat or the reverse, would your command make it the other way? I don't know.
Well, I don't. I sincerely doubt it. But the fact of the matter is, the
I'm afraid
plans out
the circle at the bottom of this memorandum non concur. So I'm going to leave.
Okay. Well,
dollar good buddy.
All right. Well, that's fine, Jim. I mean, this is not an amen society. Did we lose Jim? Okay. Well, that's fine. I find it a good barometer for me that whatever the Klan is for, I can bet pretty good odds that I can be against. Seems pretty simple. And sometimes simple. What does Occam's razor say? You know Occam's razor. Let's keep it rolling. Our friend Lottie from the chat room at headonradionetwork.com is online. Hey, Lottie, you're head on. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I was listening to the conversation tonight, and I just thought I'd throw my two cents into the mix.
Do please.
I don't know. When you have a dam that breaks, it's kind of useless to just keep pumping the water back. I mean, you have to fix the leak. And the leak in this case is the problems and conditions in Mexico that our corporations have caused. So, I mean, we have to go down there. We have to fix what we've done. Otherwise, these people are going to continue to come here.
You're right. I had a labor story just the other day of Mexican workers who are, where a lot of these people say that they should be, i.e. in Mexico. They were trying to they're trying to organize a steel mill down there. And they were gunned down for their efforts.
Well, that's the problem. The problem is also with the unions here. The unions here have gotten very weak. I mean, there is a tremendous resource coming in. People don't realize the power that it is in these immigrants that are coming across. They can be organized. They can be a voice for labor. And for some reason or other, no one's picking up on that.
No, well, some are. To be fair, Lottie, as has been pointed out to me in the past, the magazine that goes out nationally from the Carpenters and Millwrights, half of it's in Spanish. They are reaching out to these folks.
Okay,
and they're doing what you're suggesting.
Yeah, see, I think more has to be done. Because if they're coming across, I mean, we're not going to be able to send them all back. I mean, the cost is prohibitive. So what we have to do basically is we have to give them green cards or give them work visas or something to keep them here. And then once they're here and working for us, we have to basically assimilate them into the society and get them organized. I mean, I hear these complaints. Our wages are going down because they're here. I hear all these crybabies crying about that. Companies are going to lower wages and take away benefits even if they weren't here. I mean, they're doing that.
Well, that's always the goal, isn't it?
Right. I mean, just look at what GM did. I mean, with their workers, and now they're taking away the retirement plans and the pensions. I mean, everything is gone. So, I mean, how can you blame that on the illegals? They're not the problem. The problem is us. We've gotten lax. I mean, in the old days, when the union found something wrong with a company, kneecaps were broken. Labor basically had a voice. I mean, companies form, executives come together with money, and they form corporations to protect themselves. What do workers have? Workers have unions. And I mean, that's the key to the whole thing.
Well, I see it in the same light that you do.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you 100% on what you've been saying. And I think what's going on is, I mean, you've got a bunch of people running scared that they're going to lose their jobs, they're going to get their wages cut, and they're looking for a scapegoat to take it out on, and that's why you have all these border patrols down there on the Mexican border trying to keep them from coming across. These are scared people. And what these people don't realize is the problem is not them coming across. They've been coming across for what, years? I mean, the problem
yeah.
is us.
Well, and the, you know, it's that whole preposition, across what? You know, I understand borders and sensitivity about borders, but the fact of the matter is these people worrying about people from Mexico or Guatemala or Honduras, whatever, taking their jobs, that's, you know, that's watch the birdie stuff, Lottie, because the Mexicans aren't taking their jobs.
Right, right. I mean,
the Chinese are.
Look at Canada.
And George Bush's entire family is neck deep in business with the communist Chinese. It's just a fact. Neil Bush was paid $1 million a year or something like that consulting fee for a Chinese software company, and Neil Bush barely knows how to turn a daggum computer on.
Right. I mean, it's exactly what corporations are doing. They're going for the cheapest buck, and they're going to continue to do this. I mean, we've got to fix the problem. The Democrats and the Republicans are in the same bed as far as this goes, as far as I'm concerned. I don't see any progressive Democrats fighting for people's rights. I think they've all been bought off by corporations. And so now it's up to us voters to get together and basically vote them out and vote people in who are going to be in our interests. But we also have to change the election. I mean, the problem is really multifaceted. It isn't just the illegals coming across. It's the corporations. It's our politicians. It's our election system that encourages corporations to give them money. I mean, there's a ton of stuff here. I mean, and to take it all out on a bunch of illegals coming across, I think it's really foolish.
Well, and cruel. Don't forget cruel.
Oh, yeah, and cruel. I mean,
especially for a nation that considers itself Christian, after all.
Right. And
pro-life.
And as far as the Klan goes, I mean, I don't really consider them, a valid point in society, and anybody that aligns themselves with them, before you align yourself with them, ask yourself what their motives are. And do you really want those motives? You know, I mean, you're right.
Because silence is acceptance, and there is, and you know, there's a certain amount of, you know, after Katrina, didn't they go down there and try to pass out food?
Yeah, they did, somewhat.
You know, I'm sorry.
It was a joke. I mean, what they did after Katrina was a Band-Aid. I mean, after they screwed up in the beginning. I mean, we've got a problem in this country. We've got a big problem, and it needs to be fixed.
And it starts with the workers.
Right.
You know, I don't mean to make anybody stand up and sing the Internationale or anything.
Unions right now are down to less than 12% enrollment.
Yeah.
That's sorry. I mean, that's really sorry. When you have corporations where CEOs are making 500 times the average worker's pay, all right, the only people that fight for us is unions. I mean, why can't people get that through their head? They need to join unions. They need to strengthen unions. I mean, because they're the other side of the coin. They keep the balance.
Well, it seems simple enough to me, Lottie.
Yep. It's simple. I don't know. I mean,
here's a good example. We used to have, I love to do my grocery shopping at Kroger because Kroger's organized. I know that people are getting, you know, health care, things like that when I shop at Kroger's. Long before there was ever a Walmart, Kroger went on strike here in northwest Alabama for some better wages. And rather than deal with the union, Kroger just left northwest Alabama, period.
Wow. That's just like Walmart did up in Canada. Rather than deal with the Canadian government, they left. I mean, but the thing is, companies have an alternative to go somewhere else. If they didn't have that alternative, then they would have to deal with it. And that's what you have to do, is you got to get rid of the alternative. You got to get rid of the trade, sending the jobs over to China. Something's got to be done about that, either tariffs reimposed or whatever. Something's got to be done. I mean, it's just we've gotten fat and lazy. And these things have happened. Now that they've happened, we're all crying that it's hurting. I mean, it's our own fault.
Well, yeah, it is to a certain extent, and it's the fault of the so-called Reagan Democrats, Lottie. It's the fault of the Southerners, like I said, who bought into the great big honking lie of right to work.
Yeah.
And Midwesterners did, too, and Westerners. Many states, probably a majority of states, are right to work in this country. I don't know. But that was a guarantee that somewhere down the road you were going to see your job go to someone who would take less money.
Right, right. And the solution to all of this lies in organization. It lies in the unions, and it lies in voting in the right elections for the right people. I mean, and we can't let ourselves be blinded by issues that don't, that have no bearing on us. I mean, they're smoke screening everything, and so it makes it difficult to realize what a politician stands for. You have to look at the basic issues. Where is he on labor? Where is he on health?
Exactly. Lottie, thank you so much. Thanks for getting my back on this one. It helps.
I thought you would need it, Bob. I mean, I'm glad to help out, and you do a great job. I mean, I'm hooked on the show.
Appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks a lot, Bob. Bye.
Bye now. Agnes, we'll blow through this break if that's okay. Luke, calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke, you're head on.
Evening, Bob.
How you doing?
All right. Well, one thing on the subject you all were just discussing, I think. I didn't hear all your discussion, but one thing about this whole thing, with them wanting to give amnesty and all this for the immigrants and all this stuff, the illegal immigrants, it's it'll work for a short period, but amazingly enough, when these people who are these 10 or 11 million, when they get to the point where, oh, by the way, now we're citizens and they're under minimum wage, well, those people don't want to work either, not really,
because they're Americans and there are jobs Americans won't take, yeah.
It's like, yeah, they want to work, they just don't want to work for half price. I mean, that's the thing of it. I still say the best way to solve this problem is it's sort of like, the people who give these jobs, congratulations, that's now a felony. You know, if you hire somebody
right.
that's an illegal, we're going to put you in jail.
Five years in Club Fed and a $2 million fine. Thank you very much. Yeah. Hire another one.
And there'll be 11 million unemployed illegal aliens tomorrow.
Wait a minute, Luke. That will collapse the unemployment compensation system.
Oh, but it's just, what I mean? It's one of those things. There's easier ways to deal with it. You know what I mean? Dealing with it like that than instead of doing all this other rigmarole. But no one up there will do it. You know what I mean? It's like if they would pass that kind of law, and like I said, it's a five year vacation at Club Fed, you'd be amazed how fast things would change.
And actually start enforcing it.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
Detail some FBI agents to it instead of, I don't know, what did John Ashcroft do? Used a few million dollars worth of resources busting Tommy Chong for water pipes?
Well, like I say, I always still always go back to, let's see, how many FBI agents did Ken Starr send to Little Rock? Looking to Bill Clinton's sex life?
Yeah, maybe one of those guys might have found out a little flight school stuff. Yeah, exactly, Luke.
Well, okay, but on to something else. I saw the thing last night that got me was watching Jon Stewart, and I found Bush has a new nickname, the Human TiVo Machine. They were showing the. His acceptance thing or his introduction of this general, for the CIA. And then they showed the thing last year when he did it, when he introduced Porter Goss. It was almost word for word the exact same speech. I mean, literally, he had phrases in it that were the exact duplicates.
Yeah, he's a great American.
Yeah. Well, time of need and, all these other little phrases. And it was literally, they were sitting there playing one and playing the other, and it was the exact same statements.
Well, and of course, we're finding out now, and we knew that Bush wasn't a leader, Luke. We're finding out now this whole thing was driven by quite possibly the most evil man, and I include Cheney in the list, but the most evil man in the government, and that's Negroponte.
The master of the death squad.
Everywhere,
I think I told you when we were talking about this, I said, everywhere the man goes, death just seems to follow him. I think that's the next job he's auditioning for.
Yeah, I mean, I see Negroponte, and I see, like, the scene from Carrie with all the blood on the face and the hair and everything, or he's that way. The man is walking death.
Well, it's like I said, I expect him to start carrying a sickle with him, death.
Yeah, like something out of a Monty Python sketch.
Oh, it's one of those things. It's like, about a year or so ago when he was doing the thing in Iraq, and amazing enough, just right after he left Iraq, all of a sudden we started hearing about these death squads. All of a sudden popped up in Iraq, and it's like, isn't that amazing? Just as soon as he leaves, all of a sudden there's all these killings going on. 20 men will find dead in a room. execution style. It's like, gee, doesn't this sound like someplace down in Central America?
El Salvador, yeah, Guatemala, Honduras. You know, that was his gig.
That's what I mean. It's just like, gee, you know, the MO was just the perfect match.
Well, yeah, sure it does. You know, they're running around rubbing out clerics now. Wasn't one of Negroponte's specialties rubbing out nuns and priests who preached social justice?
Oh, yeah. I saw a story the other day that kind of, you talk about how different people are treated different ways. Did you see the story the other day about them dragging these the settlers out of the place, I believe it was in the Gaza? And they were talking about that the kids were throwing bottles and rocks at them, and they dispersed them because they were Israel. Now, what?
Yeah, but if you're a Palestinian, you throw a rock or a bottle.
They open fire.
Yeah, you get a 6.75 millimeter response.
Mm-hmm. Or they have the helicopter come by and wave at you as it passes in a straight as it's
yeah, with
the ground.
Exactly.
Well, did you see? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, please.
I was going to say, did you also see the thing that's kind of snuck through I believe it was in the Senate tonight, and I think it has to go to the House tomorrow. All these nice little tax breaks for Georgia's base.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
And amazingly, how with all this other stuff, that's kind of slipping through. You know what I mean? No one's talking about it. Where, you know, it's a tax break for George calls it his base, that 1%.
Yeah, it's a huge tax break for the investor class.
Yeah. And you know what I mean? It's getting a little play, but it's like, you know, it's like, how big is that debt now? You know, we clacked over $9 trillion again. Oh, you know, that's just numbers. You know how it is. They don't mean nothing.
Yeah, the story I've got right here, Luke, says Republican lawmakers facing the prospect that their power to cut taxes may soon be curbed plan to extend breaks that mostly benefit the wealthy and Wall Street at the expense of reductions for middle-income households.
Yeah, they're going to wrap it in this thing about the minimum. What's the name of it? The one in your tax form.
Alternative minimum tax, the AMT.
Alternative minimum tax. But that's what they're going to wrap it in, so everybody thinks, oh, yeah, they're giving us all a big break.
Well, according to this story, IRS data says that taxpayers who earned at least $1 million reaped 43% of all savings from reduced rates on dividends and capital gains. The estate tax will affect only 12,600 families with more than $2 million in assets this year.
Well, you saw that thing where not too long ago somebody was talking about, and I can't remember who it was, we're talking about the fact that they said that, you know, when they push this thing through, said if anybody ever tried to push it through on them, ask them, you know, why couldn't you all find any families, you know, that were affected by this? Because you all say it's the family farms. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what they always claim. They said that they looked and they could not find a record of one in the last 5 years.
No, it's another fraud. It's another hoodoo. It's ginned up. It's fake. It's phony. It's what they do best.
Yeah.
You know, I've got my own congressman back at home in the House of Representatives voted in favor of eliminating the estate tax, and when I called them on it, I was told, well, you know, it's because of the farmers. Horse hockey.
It's like I say, that's just their cover. I mean, you know, it's like, yeah, we're all there for the little farmer. It's like, no little farmer ever had a problem with this.
Yeah, you know, that's the truth.
Most businessmen don't have troubles with it.
No, you've only got a problem if you're a bajillionaire, you got a problem. And if you're a bajillionaire and you've got a problem, you've got a friend on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Oh, I'm just praying. I mean, this whole thing with Fitzgerald is like, please, we want that damn indictment. Show up with it. Come on.
Don't drag your feet. I know. We got to take our break, Luke. Thanks so much, man.
See ya.
Have a good evening. Bye now.
Bye.
And we will come back with more of your phone calls, 877-443-2366. If you're on hold, please stay there. We'll be coming to you right away. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
We're here discussing child development with some experts. Tell me the normal development of, say, a 2-year-old.
I trust.
So a child that age should know 2 to 4 word phrases. Good. And what about cognitive development? Ah, engaging in pretend play. I see. And what of social
development? Look, Anna!
Being enthusiastic about the company of other children. All right, thank you.
It's time to change how we view a child's growth. It's not just physical. There are milestones your child should reach in how he plays, learns, speaks, and acts. A delay in any of these areas could be a sign of a developmental problem, even autism. The good news is, the earlier it's recognized, the more you can do to help your child reach his full potential. Talk with a doctor. Visit cdc.gov/act early or call 1-800-CDC-INFO. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Learn the signs. Act early.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works, and other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye, baby, by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. Don't you know, talking about a revolution, it sounds like a whisper.
All right, while let's do standing in the line. This is Tuesday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Crying at the doorsteps of the armies of salvation.
This is not an echo chamber. And it is not required that we agree at all times on all things in order for us to succeed in building the conversation that we are building. The whole point of conversation radio, pure and simple. Let's go back to the phones, and we are joined by Beauregard T. Clampett, I'm told, on line one.
Hello, Bob!
Well, Mr. Clampett, how are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine, sir. Just fine, sir. Y'all have had a ruckus on the airwaves this evening, Bob, and I just got to tell you where I fall down on the subject.
And fall down you do, I suppose.
Well, I have been known after having a jug or two. Yes, sir. I've fallen down, but I always get right back up.
And, amen.
Well, Mr. Bob, I definitely wanted to let you know, because you got it all wrong, Bob. See, these brown folks from down there, they don't want to be citizens of this fine nation. Them folks, all they want to do is they want to make their money, and they want to go back there to their families where they can have their beans and rice and not worry about having to come back to this fine land here north of the border.
Yeah, because our taxes are too high.
Well, they are that. We've got a solution for that, too. I think we call that Fort Sumter, but we're not going to talk about that too much now.
Oh, well, you mean the War of Northern Aggression?
That's exactly what I'm referring to, son. You catch on quick, I tell you. Very quick, very quick. But I did want to just, because I kept hearing things like amnesty and I've had to tell you, Bob, if we have amnesty, we can't work them to death like we're doing. We can't pay them $3 an hour if we let them become citizens now, can we?
Yeah, well, you're probably right, Mr. Clampett, because after all, that whole 13th Amendment thing's still a thorn in your side, isn't it?
We won't talk about that either, Bob.
I understand.
That's old news, Bob. We let that go a long time ago now. We're working on repealing that sucker, but it's going to take a while. But I believe Mr. Bush is making the right moves in that area as well. Look, Mr. Bob, I just wanted to call in and get my 2 cents in on your radio program. By the way, I got to tell you.
Well, thank God you didn't tell me you were giving me a piece of your mind, because I don't think you've got it to spare.
Well, I did want to say that I really do enjoy. Is that your lovely wife there, Bob? Because she is a lovely woman. She is a lovely woman.
She is, and far far better than I deserve.
Mr. Kincaid, you have a wonderful evening, and may God bless the southern half of the United States.
Thank you very kindly, and yes, indeed.
And nowhere else.
Right, I understand, and nowhere else.
And nowhere else.
Not the Mason-Dixon, that's not the Mason-Dixon line, that's the Mason-Dixie line. Precisely.
Thank you, Mr. Kincaid. You have a wonderful evening now.
You too, Mr. Clampett. Beauregard T. Clampett. That 13th Amendment, we won't talk about it. We're working on it. We're going to get it repealed, but it's going to take some time. let's see. Nanette is calling in, and it's always good to hear from our dear friend Nanette. You're head on. How are you, dear?
I'm fine. And how am I supposed to follow that?
Well, I'm sorry. I had no idea you were going to be.
Well, listen, I'm going to call about the immigration thing, and I'm not going to talk pro or con. But there's something on my mind that I think people need to think about. Number one is that when did all this start blowing up? It started blowing up when Bush and him started having problems.
That's right.
This is just something to take our mind away from the government's dirty tricks. And I think we need to remember that. And the more we argue about it, Bob, the government's just laughing their heads off.
Well, there is an element of that, and I'm guilty, Nanette.
We're all being guilty of it, but I've been thinking about this, and I thought, there's too much stuff going on for this to all of a sudden blow up, take everybody's attention, and put it on that, and let them do their dirt. You see where
yes.
I'm coming from?
I absolutely do.
And, they're wanting to divide the people. I mean, here's Democrats, and the Democrats are on both sides. Some are against, some are for. And that's what they want. They want to divide us, Bob.
And it's working far better than gay marriage or John Kerry's going to eat your Bible.
Right. That's exactly right. And we need to get back on track and get this bunch out of here. Then we can tackle the fair labor, because Republicans aren't going to do it. So we need to get back on track, Bob.
I think you're right. I'm guilty, and
well, we all are. I mean, we've all been outraged.
Well, no. I mean, you understand, Nanette. I've been saying all along, it's a fraud. It's a hoodoo. It's a carnival sideshow. It's a game of three card Monte. It's a con.
Mm-hmm.
But then I start talking about it, and I bring my own opinions and passions to bear, and then boom, I'm sucked right in.
Well, we have all been sucked in. But I've laid in bed and thought about this, and I thought, there's something behind this. And I think I know what that something is. And it's the government. They're not wanting us to think about the real issues and how to solve the real issues. And if we let it go the way it is, they're dividing us, Bob. We can't let that
happen. And they win again.
and we can't let it happen. We've got to stick together. Then if we get the White House and the Congress back, then we can tackle these problems and have some solutions.
And start teaching some Democrats how to be progressive and how to be liberal and start thinking about working people again.
That's exactly right. But we've got to focus. We've got to focus. We can't be distracted. You see what I'm saying? I don't want to be
mean. Yes, I absolutely do.
I don't want to be mean or anything, but I've seen people arguing over this that we all should be fighting for one thing, and that's getting our government back, and then we can solve these problems. We can't solve
there's plenty of other stuff out there, Nanette, and it matters and it's real.
Mm-hmm.
The story that Luke mentioned about what the Senate did today with extending tax cuts for their rich investor class buddies.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But
that's obscene.
We've got to get back on track and make sure that we get our government back. Then we can tackle all these other problems and make it work. But we can't make it work the way it is.
No. And it's broken. It needs fixing.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some who say it's beyond fixing, and there's some out there.
It's not beyond.
You know, but I think we have to at least make the effort.
Yeah, and we've got to focus on November and change the Congress and then the White House. Then we can really affect change.
Now, I forget, Nanette, do you get a chance to not vote for Shelley Moore in November?
Ray Hall. Mine's Ray Hall.
Okay.
Yeah, I wish I could vote against Camel Toe. But I can't. My sister can, but I can't. But mine's Ray Hall. I will tell you this. We went to vote, and where this is an off-year primary, they said the turnout was extremely heavy. And
that's
good. I said maybe people are so fed up that they're going out and they're voting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I hope it carries through to November. I haven't heard a blessed word out of the Raleigh County races. Those were that was extremely ugly up there, and I'm anxious to hear some sort of results.
Mm-hmm.
We had some dear friends running for House of Delegates up there in Raleigh County,
mm-hmm.
and friends running in the Senate races too. And I was just amazed at how nasty that became.
Well, I didn't follow the Raleigh County where we're down here in Boone, but we had an open Senate seat down here, and there were two fellows running, and the one guy I knew I didn't like, and the other guy I didn't know very well, but I knew I didn't like the one, so I voted against him. But I don't know how it's going to turn out, probably not till the 11 o'clock news, but... they said we had a really heavy turnout.
Well, good. Very good.
Yeah.
I'm very glad.
That's why I called Bob. I just feel like we're getting off track. We need to stay united and not divided.
Well, I will take your advice, and I'm gonna try to leave this issue alone where possible.
Well, I'm not fussing at you.
No. I know you're not, but I mean, I'm trying to learn. You know, this is a learning experience for me. I'm not a Limbaugh or a Hannity or any of those people. I don't think I... Yeah.
I just wondered if I was a strange character thinking, am I a conspiracy theorist on this too, you know?
Nope. You've got it squared away.
I just really feel like the government is trying to throw up something in our face that's so big that we don't pay attention to what the government's doing. We're not paying attention because we've got our attention elsewhere, and I think we need to stay together. We can't be divided.
Right. And there's no hard feelings on any of this. I consider us, you know, there's us and there's them.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make it understood that, you know, just because we do have a disagreement, we can work it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. But like I say, we won't be able to work it out, Bob, until we get the Congress back and the White House back. And we've got to focus on that first.
And then we build us a big old fire because we got a lot of feet to hold to it.
Boy, isn't that the truth. Let's just hope so.
I do. Uh-huh. Nanette, thank you so much. It's always so good to hear from you.
Well, okay. I wish the best for you guys. I know that you're having a rough time, and I want you to know you're in our prayers.
Well, thank you very kindly.
Okay.
We do appreciate it, and it means a lot.
Okay. We'll talk to you later.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay. And Agnes tells me we must take a quick break, then we will come back, go to the phones, and wrap up this evening's action. Okay? Sounds good. I'm Bob. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Almost level, West Virginia, Latin mountains, gold filled in our rivers. Life is cheap there, cheaper by the ton. We lose more by law here than if they use a gun. Strip mine roads, ruin my home. All the places I belong. West Virginia, stripped off mama. Where's my home? My country road.
This is Bruce Birch, and if you missed my show Sunday night, here's what I got up to.
A group of U.S. businessmen in the UAE said they will invite the Oprah Winfrey Show and other talk shows to the Gulf to change American public opinion, which has helped block Dubai's takeover of six U.S. ports. He's saying that they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States and explain why the UAE is important. If you want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, they need to send something, not Oprah. I mean, how many average guys do you know watch Oprah? I don't. If they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, as much as I hate to say it, they need to send Jerry Springer and the Jerry Springer Show over there with the bald guy. You know, maybe they can do a UAE version of My Grandmother Is Also My Lover or something like that. Oh, that's just a...
Join me, Bruce Birch, for All Things Reconsidered every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, allthingsreconsidered.org.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Anne Braden.
You know, I got interested in Anne's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss and tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
Quick email from our good friend Sue down on Big Coal River in West Virginia. She says, the Charleston Gazette has reported that Bush has threatened to use his very first veto, and with his very first veto crayon, to veto the bill for aid for Katrina and bird flu if the tax cuts for his investor class buddies don't go through. He's sick, 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 sorry, seventh sons of syphilitic sea cooks. The one thing he's willing to veto is Katrina aid. George Bush don't like black people. Do we need to do that again? Anybody wondering? No, we really don't. We really don't wonder, do we? Great googly moogly. What's the story say? Yeah, this was one of my favorite parts of the story about the tax cut legislation. The best way to reduce our deficit is to keep pro-growth economic policies in place so the economy expands, which will yield more tax revenues, Bush said last week in Washington, and I bet he didn't. That had to be cleaned up for print. While the president has called for all of the $1.85 trillion in tax cuts passed in 2001 and 2003 to be made permanent, administration officials acknowledge that may not be possible. You can't do everything at once, says Sean Cavellahan, the Treasury Department spokesman who focuses on tax and economic issues. But what we're doing right now directly correlates to U.S. economic strength. God almighty. Bush and his supporters say lower taxes on investments and multi-million dollar estates will sustain economic growth. Well, yeah, they kind of will because the economic growth will, yeah, somebody's got to mow them estates, baby. How about a guest worker? Oop, did it again. Let's go to the phones. Bob, our good friend Bob is calling from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, you're head on.
Hello, Bob.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I just want to give a shout-out to a few friends.
Okay.
Rick down there in Panama and say, good job, Rick. You're a good man. And to our good friend, Annette, I want to say, you're right on, baby. She hit the nail on the head, didn't she? Bob?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Oh. She did hit the nail on the head, did she not?
Oh, yes, she did.
And sharp little girl. And it's a good thing to hear from her. You know, there's a lot of people hurting in this country, but there's a lot of people trying to make a whole lot more people hurt.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, it's goodness, nothing in the Democratic Party has ever been trying to hurt people. They're always trying to help people. See? And
yeah,
time that we just look and wake up and see. Or what is that they say? Wake up and smell a coffee?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because it's boiling over. It's burning on the stove. I mean, it's time that we wake up and see what they're doing to us. Not just playing games. It's, you know, we talk a lot. Everybody talks. We got, you know, solutions. We got problems. We got all this. And, you know, why did they build the Berlin Wall? I mean, why?
Well, in that particular instance, it wasn't to keep people out. It was to keep people in.
Right. Okay. And now they want to build one across the Mexican border to what? Keep people out or keep people in? I mean, it's
a good question.
Yeah, it really is. It starts to boggle your mind. I mean, they're talking about having a passport to go into Canada. I mean, we go up there every summer and go fishing. All you got to do is buy their bait and their hooks and stuff like that, take the boat across and go up on the Canadian lakes, catch their fish with, you know, their hooks and buy their bait. But, you know, that's fine as long as you're not bringing across some, you know, hooks that are not bought in Canada, okay? They got their...
Well, you know, Canadian fish don't like U.S. hooks, I'm sure.
No, it's just a game they play, so you buy their product.
Right.
Okay? It's a game. And, you know, people don't realize it. And they, okay, well, I can't pick, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that. But it's always somebody else setting the hook. It's always somebody else, you know, throwing out the bait. And then the boobs, the idiots, the neocons, the whatever. Give them names. That's fine. Call them names. Racist or KKK or Ku Klux Klan or, you know, whatever. Give them a name and, yeah, they'll just jump up like fish. But it is so simple. People are human and they're just people, Bob. We're all human. Your dad's
sure.
A human being. He's goodness gracious, he sired you. He must be a great man. I mean, he brought into this world a man that speaks the truth to power. And you can't stop just because somebody says, well, gee, goodness gracious, you're going against the grain. When you go against the grain, you may be making, polishing a piece of furniture, or you might do, you're going against the grain, maybe you're doing something right. But see, correct. Most people, they got this idea that, you know, if you go against the grain, you're hurting something. That isn't always so. Now, I've met a great deal of people in your chat room. I met a bunch of people on, talking to you and listening to them on the radio. But everybody has their own, their own little thing that they're thinking about, you know, if it's gas for their SUV or if it's whatever, groceries, the cost of this, the cost of medical care, or is there any medical care? Everybody has their own little thing just for themselves. How about we think about that guy that, you know, that guy you don't think about, that one that's living in a cardboard box in New York City? I'm not even close.
Yeah, under the bridge. Exactly.
Or under a bridge. You know, how about that guy? How about his, where did he come from? What drove him to that point? Everybody says, well, he's probably a drunk or he's got mental problems.
Well, my favorite along those lines, Bob, is homeless people like to be that way. That's what from the Reagan administration, that's the one they've been putting forward. Homeless people want to be that way. There's some people who just don't want to live in a house.
No, Bob, don't do that.
But they do, Bob. But you're right, and thank you so much. We've got to wrap it all up, though, because we're out of time, my friend.
I'm sorry. I called late. But Nanette, straight up, Rick, he's a good guy, and he's got good.
There's a lot of good intentions and good ideas out there. That's what I'm saying. You know, that's the beauty of this conversation radio, Bob. It's not an echo chamber, and it's not the I agree with Bob show either.
No,
being me, Bob.
I do agree with Bob. I really do on 99 9/10% of everything. The only thing I don't agree on with Bob. Is that Bob could just, once in a while put your damn foot down, son. I mean, just say, hey, yes, you have your right to speak your mind, but don't bring it on that strong. I mean, you got your right and you got your thoughts, and that's wonderful. I'm happy to hear it. But it's time that, your voice and what you say means more to most of us than what we say. It really does. And